Welcome to the Hillside Church Sermon Podcast. We're so glad you're here. Each week, Pastor Brad, our pastoral team, or guest speakers open the Bible and help us explore what it means to follow Jesus in everyday life. Whether you're listening from here in Airdrie or somewhere else around the world, our hope is that these messages encourage you, strengthen your faith, and draw you closer to Jesus. Thanks for being part of the Hillside family. As family, we go.
If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, you could turn to Colossians chapter 3, as we're going to be looking at some verses from Colossians chapter 3 together, or you can go to hillsideairdrie.ca/sermon notes, or scan the QR code on the screen behind me here if you'd like to follow along with our digital sermon notes. And there's so many resources that are available there. There's devotionals, there's scripture readings for the whole week, there's prayers, there's questions for you to think about, all kinds of things that we've got available to you there. But one of the biggest gaps that we can fill in our life, one of these places in our lives where we live in kind of tension, where we live in this place where something is true and another thing is true, and they kind of compete against each other at times, is this tension or this gap that exists between our faith, what we know, what we believe, what we understand, who we are in Christ, and how at times that faith can feel a little disconnected from our real life. Like, we gather here together and we worship and we open scripture and we pray for one another and we share in community with one another and we love each other and we're so grateful to see each other and we talk about who God is and what he's done for us. And those moments, they can be meaningful and they can be life impacting. But then Monday comes. And it's back to work, or it's back to school, and there's dishes to do, and there's laundry to do, and there's emails to respond to, and there's conversations that are maybe a little tense, or it's just back to the normal rhythm of life. And sometimes there can become, and we can begin to feel like there's this gap between what I believe and what I know and what I understand to be true about who I am and who God is and what he's called me to do and be and who we are when we gather together at the church and all of these kinds of things. And then the gap that exists between that and how we live. And that's really what our series that we're starting today is going to be about. Over the next 4 weeks, we're starting a series called IRL, which just means in real life. Because following Jesus isn't just meant to be something we believe. It's not just meant to be a series of doctrinal statements that we affirm. It's not just meant to be a theology that we hold on to. It is all of those things, but it's also meant to be something that we live. That each day we live it out. And it makes a difference. Not just here on Sundays, but in the everyday places where life actually happens. And so each week we're gonna look at a different part of real life. We're gonna look at what it looks like to follow Jesus when we're at home, when we're in our neighborhoods, when we're at work or school, and when we're online. Because all of those spaces, all of the places where we live, all of the places where we live our lives out are meant to be places where our faith is visible. And so we're going to talk about what does it mean for our faith to be visible in all these different places that we live. So this series is going to be very practical. We're going to talk about real situations. We're going to talk about real tensions. We're going to talk about real habits. We're going to talk about real relationships. Not in a heavy way. Not in a way that's going to hopefully manufacture guilt or shame. But in a way that helps us to see that every part of our lives, every place that we live our lives, each one of those places matters to God. And we can live out our faith in every one of these arenas, in every place that we live and exist and we operate in, our faith can be lived out. And today we're starting with the place where we spend the most time, the place where we're often the most ourselves. Today we're going to start with home. And right away, I want to say, I know home looks different for all of us. For some of us, home is loud. That when we think about life at home, we think about noise or kids running around or lots of things happening, and it's never really quiet and it's never really peaceful. For others, home is a lot quieter. Maybe it's just you. Or maybe it's just the two of you. Maybe it's you and a roommate. Maybe it's a place that feels peaceful. Maybe sometimes it's a place that can feel a little lonely. For some, home is a place you love being. For others, it can be a place of tension or stress or complicated relational dynamics. But no matter what our homes look like, home is where our life is very real. Because it's where we're not on. It's where we don't feel the need to always be presenting the best version of ourselves at all times. It's where we relax. It's where we can let our guard down. And because of that, home is often where we're the most ourselves. And that can be a really good thing. That's a good thing for us to be able to just come and just be and exist. But the reality is, it can often reveal some pretty important things. I'm sure you've noticed how easy it is to be patient in public. And then lose patience almost instantly the moment you get home. Like you can be kind, calm, and understanding with people all day. But then you come home and something small happens. And suddenly the response looks very different. Or how easy it is to be encouraging with people outside of your home, but inside your home, your words can be shorter, sharper, more reactive. Or even this. You can spend time in worship, feel close to God, and then a few hours later, we're at home and we're just moving through our day without really thinking about God at all. And of course, none of this comes from a place of just rejection of God. It's not like we wake up and decide, today I'm not going to live out my faith at home. It's just that life happens. It's routines. It's familiarity. It's being tired. It's being comfortable. But over time, what can happen inside of us is that we can start to begin to think that we like live out our faith, living out our faith belongs in certain spaces, but not other spaces. It belongs at church. When I'm at church, I need to live out my faith. If I go to small group, I need to live out my faith. If I go for chicken wings with the men on Thursday, I need to live out my faith. I need to present myself a certain way. In conversations with God or in conversations about God, in certain moments, my faith matters and I need to live it out, but not always in the ordinary, everyday rhythms of life. And if we're not careful, we can end up with two versions of ourselves. The version that shows up in those moments. The version of us that shows up at church. The version of us that shows up when we want to make sure that we're seen a certain way, but then the version of us that shows up at home. Now, to be clear, and I want to say this, and I'm going to say this multiple times today and multiple times all throughout this series. This isn't about guilt. This isn't about shame. This isn't about trying to motivate someone to do something by making them feel bad about themselves. What this is about is just being honest. Because if this series is going to mean anything, it has to connect to real life. And for most of us, there's no place where life is more real than when we're at home. And when we turn to Scripture, we can see that this part of life, the everyday life stuff, it's something that matters deeply to God. It's important to him. It's something he speaks directly into. If you have your Bibles and you want to read along with me, we're going to read Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. And it says this: "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." What I want us to see in this passage is just how ordinary life it is. That Paul is not giving us all of these and saying, in this set of circumstances, this is what I want you to do. He's not just describing when you're at church, this is how I want you to present yourself. He's not saying, well, when people are watching, this is how I want your life to look to other people. He's describing the kind of life we're meant to live with one another on a regular, everyday basis. We look and we read words like compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, thankfulness. We see things like bearing with one another, forgiving one another, letting love bind everything together, letting peace rule. And when we think about these things, and when we start to understand what Paul is encouraging us here, we see that this kind of life, these kind of principles, they make the most sense in the kind of relationships we experience at home. Because home is where you have ongoing, repeated interactions with the same people. You don't get to just walk away. You get to see people at their very best. And you get to see people at their very worst. And everywhere in between. It's one thing to be kind in a passing interaction. It's one thing to just have to be kind for a moment. It's one thing to just have to be nice for a moment. It's another thing entirely to live with kindness in the same space, with the same people, day after day after day after day, after bad day, after really bad day, after bad tones, after bad reactions, and hopefully some good days too. But what Paul is describing here is he's not just talking about behavior. He's not just saying, these are the things that I just want you to do, whether you feel like doing it or not, here's what I want you to do. What he's talking about is it's an identity. He starts by saying, as God's chosen people, dearly loved, clothe yourself. In other words, he's saying, this is who you are now. That because of your faith in Jesus and what Jesus has done, this is who you are. And so this is how you need to live. And he takes it even deeper. He'll say, let the peace of Christ not just inform, but let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the word of Christ not just be something you're aware of, but let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Paul's showing us that it's not just about moments. It's not just about, in this moment, at this time, this is how I want you to do that. Or at this moment, in this time, when they say that, don't respond like this. But Paul is calling us to be shaped from the inside out. Because here's what we need to be aware of. We need to understand that God's not just interested in who we are in a place like this. God's not just interested in how we present ourselves in the times when we feel like we really need to present ourselves. But instead, he's deeply interested in who we are in the everyday spaces of our lives. Especially in the places where no one else sees. And if that's true, then our home isn't just where we live. Our home is one of the primary places where our faith is formed and lived out. The way we speak, the way we respond, the way we handle tense moments, the way we treat the people close to us, all of that is both the overflow and it's shaping who we're becoming. And so this isn't a small thing. It's not just a side issue. Because if home is one of the primary places where our faith is formed, it's also one of the primary places where our faith can drift. And the thing about drifting is that it's not loud. It's not even intentional. And it certainly doesn't happen all at once. Where we go to bed one way and wake up in the morning and we're just a profoundly different person the next morning. It's slow. Subtle. It might even be unnoticeable at first. That nothing changed. But somehow, everything changed. But it comes from just life. We get tired. We get comfortable. and we fall into patterns. And so what does this drift look like? How can we start to identify in our life if there's places where we're starting to drift? Well, there's a few ways that this shows up for a lot of us. First, we become inconsistent. We become one version of ourselves in public or in places where we want to be seen one way, but a different version of ourselves maybe when we're at home. Out in where people can see us, we're thoughtful. We're patient. We're aware of how we speak. But when we're at home, our tone changes. Our reactions come quicker. Our words carry less grace. And again, I want to say again, this isn't about guilt or shame. It's just about recognizing something. That it's easy to follow Jesus when we're being watched. It's easy to follow Jesus when we know what it is that we want people to see. But it's harder when we're just being ourselves. Second, we drift relationally. At home, relationships are constant. And because they're constant, they become familiar. And there's an old saying that says, familiarity breeds contempt. Familiarity can sometimes lead to taking people for granted, losing patience more quickly, letting conflict and tension sit rather than dealing with it, choosing distance instead of engagement. And the very things that Paul talks about, kindness, patience, forgiveness, thankfulness. These are often the very first things to get strained in the people we're closest to. Next, we start to live reactionally instead of intentionally. A lot of us don't mean to live disconnected from our faith at home. We're just moving from one thing to the next. Busy, distracted, tired. And so instead of living with intention and purpose, we just start to live reactionally. Something happens, and we just respond with our gut. We just react. Someone says something, and we just react. A situation comes up, and we just react. And over time, our hearts, our homes, our relationships become shaped more by our mood than by our faith. Next, we neglect our spiritual life in this space. Now, this isn't because we don't care, but because home feels like a place where maybe we can just turn off. And so our faith becomes something we engage in certain moments, but not something that's present in the everyday rhythms of our lives. And slowly we begin to live like Jesus is part of my life, but maybe not part of this part of my life. That Jesus is a part, and there's parts of my life that Jesus is a part of, but this part of my life isn't a part that Jesus is a part of. But here's what's important to understand. Most of this doesn't happen because we've rejected Jesus. Because we've said, I'm not going to live for him. I'm not going to live for him in this arena. I'm not going to live for him in these places. It happens because we've simply stopped being aware of his presence in this part of our lives. We don't drift away from faith entirely. We just drift into living like it doesn't apply in this part of my life. And I think, again, it's important to say this clearly. This isn't about becoming a perfect person at home. This isn't about God saying, now you know, you better be perfect. This isn't about getting everything right all the time in every circumstance. And again, it's not about guilt. It's actually about something much more simple, but also much more deep. It's about awareness. Because if we can see it, we can begin to change it. That if we can begin to see this part of our lives and maybe see how we've started to drift, then we can begin to change that. That if we don't want to look at it, if we don't want to acknowledge it, if we won't even admit it exists, it will never change. But if we can have the courage to be able to look at our own lives and say, you know what, I think maybe this has become part of who I am, or this is becoming part of who I am, then the beautiful thing is that we can start to change that. It's about learning to live intentionally and with the awareness of Jesus' presence in the spaces we already live. Not adding something heavy, but allowing our faith to begin shaping what's already there. It's not about adding things to life to somehow make our life look more spiritual. It's about living life where we're already living it and just inviting more of Jesus in. So what does it actually look like to follow Jesus at home? Because when we begin to follow Jesus at home, it starts to shape everything else. It starts with presence. One of the most simple ways that we can follow Jesus at home is by actually being present when we're at home. Because it's very easy to be physically at home, but be mentally somewhere else. On our phones, thinking about work, distracted, disengaged, half engaged. But following Jesus at home begins with something simple: slowing down enough to be present with the people around us, to notice, to listen, to engage. Because love doesn't grow in distraction. Second, it shows up in how we treat people. If we go back to what we read in Colossians, kindness, patience, forgiveness, gentleness, thankfulness, peace, love. These aren't just abstract ideas or abstract concepts. These are choices that we make in real moments. When somebody frustrates us, when there's tension, when we're tired, when it's just easier to react than to respond. Following Jesus at home means choosing grace when it's not deserved. It means choosing patience when it's not easy. It means choosing forgiveness when it's not convenient. And hear this, it's not about doing these things perfectly. It's not that somehow now that you know this, you will be able to do this all the time and in every circumstance, and it will never take any effort. But it's about doing our best to be intentional to choose these as often as we can. Next, it grows through simple spiritual rhythms. It doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be long or structured. But we need to create space for God in our everyday lives. That we can't just hold on to, I go to church for an hour and a little bit, depending on how long Brad talks for, and hope that that gets me through the week. But we need to be intentional about creating space for God in our lives, in our everyday lives. It might look like a moment of prayer in your daily life. Opening scripture in a way that's simple. Inviting God into what you're already walking through. Not as a performance. Not so that people around me might see it and think, wow, he's really got it all together. Wow, she's really a good Christian. Not as pressure. Not as, oh, well, the pastor said I need to do this, so let me see what I can figure out because I got to do it. But as a relationship. Because over time, what we give attention to, what we spend our time on, that's what begins to shape us. And so as we begin to allow our time to be spent with Jesus, Jesus will begin to shape us. Then lastly, it means being the same person everywhere. At the end of the day, following Jesus at home, it's about integrity. It's not about perfection. We can't judge ourselves against perfection because we won't win. But it's about consistency. About becoming the same person, the person who we know we're supposed to be, the answers that we know we're supposed to give, about giving, being that person in public when other people are watching. As we know, this is how I'm supposed to talk to my wife. This is how I'm supposed to care for my kids. This is how I'm supposed to talk to clients. Being that same person in public, in private, at church, at home. Because the goal of our faith, the goal of our walk with Jesus, is not to be impressive in one space. It's not to convince one group of people that this is who I am. It's to be formed by Jesus in every space we live in. And when we start to live this way, when we start to be intentional about bringing God into the everyday moments of our lives, something begins to shift. And naturally, home stops being a place where you just live, and it becomes a place where our faith actually grows, where grace is practiced, where patience is stretched, where love becomes real, not because everything is perfect, but because Jesus is present in the midst of all of it. So here's the question for us today. What would it look like to take one small step this week in following Jesus at home? Not everything, not all at once. There can be an instinct. If as I'm talking about this morning, and maybe the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and convicting you, and you're feeling like, oh man, I gotta change. And the instinct that we can have is to say, okay, starting this afternoon, we're going to do 4 hours of intentional family Bible study around the table. Then we're going to watch an entire season of The Chosen. Then we're going to spend all night reading scripture. We're just going to read the Bible for 6 hours. And I know that means the kids are going to go to bed late, but it means that they need Jesus more than they need sleep. That we are going to fix this, and we are going to fix it now, and we are going to fix it incredible. We are going to swing the pendulum the entire other way, and everything is going to be perfect, and it's going to be perfect now. It's not how it works. I want to encourage you. What would it look like to make one small step in following Jesus at home? Maybe it's being intentional about saying, I'm going to have more patience in that relationship. Maybe it's being more present. Maybe it's just simply creating small moments to invite God into your day. Because following Jesus can't be just something we do here. It needs to be something we live at home. Because when we live like that at home, it will shape everywhere else. So three takeaways for this morning. First, following Jesus isn't just something we believe, it's something we live. Faith was never meant to stay in one place for one moment. It's meant to shape how we live in the ordinary, everyday parts of our lives, especially at home. Second, what we live at home is what's forming us. Our homes aren't just where we relax. They're where our character is shaped. The way we speak, respond, and relate to others in everyday moments is forming who we are becoming. And lastly, change begins with awareness and with one small step. We don't need to overhaul everything overnight. Growth starts by being willing to see what needs to be seen and choosing to make a step to follow Jesus in the places we already live. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you that you haven't just called us to be a part of just a religion that just calls us to do things. But God, I thank you that through your love, through your grace, and through your mercy, God, you want to change us to be things. That you want to shape us, to form us, to create in us a clean heart. God, that you want to have us be different because of who we are in you. And yet, God, we confess that we're not always good at this. That we, even with the best intentions, have times and places where we know who we're supposed to be, and yet it's not who we are. God, we recognize that we don't do this perfectly. We don't do this flawlessly. And God, I thank you that even as we can recognize that, even as we can give language to that, God, I thank you that we're not met with disgust from you. We're not met with anger from you. We're not met with distance. We're not met with guilt or shame. But God, I thank you that as we come to you and admit, Jesus, I'm not always who I should be. God, I thank you that we are met with grace and mercy and love. And so God, I pray for each one of us here today that maybe knows that in our quiet moments, in our home moments, in our everyday moments of life, God, that we're not who we are, we're not always who we are supposed to be. God, I pray that you would meet us in those moments. That even now you would begin to birth in us and in our hearts and in our lives, in our souls, in our spirits, in our minds, some changes that we can make, one small change that we can make to begin to be more who you've called us to be. God, I pray that we would invite you into every moment, into every place, into every relationship. God, protect us from, even without realizing it, starting to believe or understand that this area of my life, this isn't for Jesus. God, help us to live, help us to want your presence in every part of our lives. And then God, help us to live knowing that your presence is with us in every part of our lives. God, we thank you for the way you love us. We thank you for the way you work in us. We thank you that you care about the small everyday moments. Thank you that you care about our home. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Hillside Church. We're so glad to be able to share God's word with you as part of our church family. Stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Hillside Airdrie. Send us an email at info@hillsideairdrie.ca. You can also reach out to our pastors via our website, hillsideairdrie.ca, by selecting Our Church in the main menu, then Our Leadership from the drop-down. Our vision is to help everyone know God, know His hope, know His purpose, and know His power together. As family, we go,